This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
You're listening to the Broadway Boys Podcast through the Hockey Podcast Network, and this is Season 5, Episode 22. As the New York Rangers are enjoying some much-needed R&R, a couple days off, as the tough schedule and the constant winning has finally come to a head, a little bit of attention to details being lost, some injuries mounting, and just some bad habits have creeped back into their game, resulting in a pretty ugly loss to the Ottawa Senators, but luckily they are able to take a few days off and recoup a bit before their back-to-back games on Saturday and Sunday against the Capitals on the road and the LA Kings at home. Hey everybody, Andy here. I too am in some need of an R&R as I am fighting off a little cold. I'm sure you can tell by my voice. But no excuses. You got to play like a champion. You got to get your work boots on and do the job that needs to be done, especially when you're not feeling 100%. And obviously the New York Rangers have done a pretty good job at that all season. Although, like I had said, it kind of comes to a head in that road loss to the Ottawa Senators. I mean, for context, that's a game Ottawa pretty much needed to win. There was rumors that if they were to lose that game, DJ Smith would finally be getting the boot. Who knows whether that's true or not, but at the very least, that's a team that is better than their record shows, and they showed it in that game. And meanwhile, the Rangers have been just, even though they've been winning their last few games, it hasn't exactly been pretty. I mean, they almost dropped that one to the Sharks, who have gone on an unbelievable run here. I do want to take this a second here to talk about just how good the Sharks have been recently after their horrendous start to the season. I mean, they beat the Devils, almost beat the Rangers, beat the Islanders, all on the road. Especially with that, they have a pretty awesome comeback against the Islanders for the OT win. And they were down 4, as I started recording this, they were down 4-0 to the Detroit Red Wings in Patrick Kane's first game with the Red Wings. And they scored, it's currently tied 5-5, they scored 4 goals in the second period to make it 4-4. It's 5-5. Their teams are in overtime right now. So, you know, kudos to them. They've had a rough go at it, but, you know, they've gotten healthy a little bit, you know, getting Barabanov back, and Tomas Hertl and Anthony Duclair are really shoring things up there for that team. So do I expect them to make the playoffs? Hell no. But that being said, I think everyone thought they were going to be the worst team in recorded history, at least it was looking that way. But Mackenzie Blackwood's playing good. Kaapo Kähkönen's playing good. So, yeah, good kudos to them. I hope they pull it out. That would be really nice for this team, you know. And literally, as I say this, San Jose wins in overtime. Mikael Granlund, who's been a horse for that team. Yikes. Best team in the league, the San Jose Sharks. Who could have called it? But back to Rangers-related news. So like I said, details have been slipping for the Rangers recently in their last few games, despite the winning just continuing for them. They've found many ways to win games in games in which they look dominant, games in which they are fighting from behind, games in which they look like they don't have it. But I just think it's a lot of it. I do think it's their tough schedule. They were on the road a lot to start the season. They've had a lot of back-to-backs, a lot of travel, a lot of away, then back home the next day. And I just think it's, I just think it's really taken it out of them. Obviously they had a quick road trip swing again with the Predators and then the Sharks on Saturday and Sunday, with one day of rest between that and the Senators game where they're back on the road. So it's a lot. So I'm not so surprised or even upset that they lost. You could tell they were still getting their chances, but attentions to detail have been slipping the last few games. They've been allowing a lot of odd man rushes against, in which they had really clamped down on early in the season with the implementation of Peter Laviolette's new system, and especially that neutral zone 1-3-1 to slow things down. But it's just been a lot more freewheeling hockey for the New York Rangers recently, and it's great that they're finding goals. And, you know, Mika Zibanejad's finally found his goal-scoring touch again, and Panarin remains, you know, one of the hottest players, if not the hottest player in the league. But, yeah, it's just, you could see that shades of the old Rangers with the maybe pressuring too much and leaving the neutral zone uncontested and just too much open ice for the opposing team to counterattack. And it was just one of those games, you know, players trying to get pucks out and Panarin trying to get a stick on it and just basically chipping it directly to a center's defenseman coming down from the blue line, or trying to keep pucks in and just not being able to hold it in and just conceding breakaways. And Igor clearly didn't look himself. I know he's trying to get himself back to the level he wants to be since coming back from that injury. So, yeah, it was just, listen, it's usually I would be a lot more doom and gloom about this sort of things, but the Rangers have been winning so much. They weren't going to win all 82 games, and they still got their chances. They didn't convert where they needed to, but yeah, you could tell that at this point and the way things have gone, Peter Laviolette has earned the benefit of the doubt. Basically, in his post-game presser, he spoke about what him and his staff saw, and just they know what needs to be addressed and brought up. And apparently they had a good practice today where it was they talked about the details that were missed and what the forwards need to be doing to help prevent against the rush, and what the defensemen should be doing, and you know, knowing, being smarter with your decision making and when to go and when to reload and when to press and all that and when to activate and all this stuff. So I think he's earned the benefit of the doubt. I think they will be better. I'm happy that their next game is against the Washington Capitals, because they have a real test. The real test for them is going to be on Sunday at home against who I think right now might be the best team in the league, in the LA Kings, who won again tonight and have, I think they've broken an NHL record for the most road wins to start a season in consecutive road wins by a team with 11, which is pretty crazy. So if the New York Rangers want to be the team to put an end to this streak, they're going to have to be ready, because I think and by most metrics, LA is probably one of the underlying numbers for LA are amazing right now. I think they're one of the best teams in expected goals for. I think they might be the best team in terms of expected goals against. They're just play great. They have some great dangerous skill up and down their lineup, much like our Alexis Lafreniere, the second overall pick in his draft. Quentin Byfield has figured it out, is playing at an insane level right now on the top line with Kopitar and Adrian Kempe. They're sneaky deep between Philip Deneau. They have snipers. They have Kem Fiala. They have PLD, who hasn't really found his footing this year, but is obviously a dangerous player. They have a pain in the ass of a fourth line to play against with Trevor Moore, who's I saw online that, which made someone said that Trevor Moore plays like a ground squirrel on meth, and I think that's a very, very funny comparison for watching him just run around and be such a disruptor and a grindy fourth line guy. But they have underrated goal scorers like Arthur Kaliev, and Cam Talbot has really found his footing for this team. You know, play in front of a, or behind, I should say, a well-structured team, and you're going to do well. So that's the real test for the Rangers. But obviously, again, the Ottawa loss, as much as it sucks, you know, their old friend Vladimir Tarasenko, of course, lighting them up for two goals, it felt like a scheduled loss. It was going to come at some point or another. So I'd rather come against a team that really was really trying to lay it all out there, as opposed to like a team that probably would, having this come against a team like the Capitals, which could happen, by the way. The Rangers are pretty banged up right now. Barclay Goodrow leaves the game with an upper body injury when trying to keep a puck in the zone. Keandre Miller gets a stick blade on a puck and immediately just shoots back and hits Barclay Goodrow in the face. You can see blood dripping down. He grips his face. He immediately runs to the locker room. So they're just saying upper body injury. I assume we're going to see him in a few days, and he's going to, I don't know. I don't know if it's dental work or what's going on with him, or it's not good, but he didn't skate today. He's day to day. Chris Kreider was apparently didn't skate today. It didn't say maintenance. It said day to day with a lower body injury. And there was a clip floating around online of Trocheck in a scrum trying to do a stick lift and kind of getting Kreider in his unmentionables, is below the belt, as they say. So you don't know if that's part of it or if he's going to be good to go. If it's, you know, they would say maintenance if it was just maintenance, I guess, but maybe he'll be ready to go. But, you know, Heedle still is not skating with the team. This team is pretty banged up. They've had some injuries. As well as things have gone for them so far this year, injuries have been a bit of a problem for this team, which I feel in the past they've been pretty lucky with injuries, at least the last few seasons it feels that way. But a lot of little things early. Obviously, Kaapo Kakko is still out with his ankle issue, whatever is going on. We never really heard whether it was a broken bone or a tear, but obviously the Rangers are famously extremely tight-lipped about these sorts of things. So yeah, I mean, it would not surprise me if the New York Rangers are going to, after all the winning they've been doing and the rallying and this and that, if they're a little behind the eight ball for the next few games here and they kind of go on and have a mini streak of losing games, it wouldn't surprise me in the least. You'd hope that's not the case. The whole point of banking those points early is that you can at least afford to drop some games when you're outgunned or outmanned. I would hope the New York Rangers can win the games they're supposed to win, like the one versus the Capitals on Saturday. And that means they lose against currently the hottest team in the NHL, the LA Kings, on Sunday. I guess so be it. I've made it known that my greatest nightmare is that the New York Rangers, having the season they're having, are going to meet the LA Kings again in the final and lose. So that's my current nightmare. We'll see how the rest of the season bears out. But that's my current, I guess, pie in the sky saying, hey, the New York Rangers are going to make it to the Stanley Cup final, but who knows? It could happen. Bet the action on the ice with DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the DraftKings app now and use code THPN. New customers can get $150 instantly in bonus bets for betting just $5 on hockey. That's code THPN, only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. The crown is yours. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NEW-YORK or text HOPE-NEW-YORK 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for a gambling problem by calling 888-789-7777 or visiting ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino Resort, 21+, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. The NHL and NHL Shield are registered trademark of the National Hockey League. Because I need just as much R&R as the New York Rangers, I'm going to try to keep this podcast fairly short, but I would be remiss if I didn't mention the progress some New York Rangers prospects are making this year. Man, and where to start? I mean, you have to give credit to Chris Drury and honestly, just the Rangers scouts development staff for, clearly an emphasis has been put on streamlining and better supporting a area of the Rangers organization that has kind of been, I don't want to, yeah, let's just say it, underserved or under, or maybe just not the right emphasis put on development, no matter where these prospects are. It seems like right now the Rangers, despite where the Rangers are in terms of their contention window in the NHL, they have a fairly strong prospect pool, and they have some real gems in their system. I mean, obviously a lot of their for their rebuild, quote unquote, their prize prospects have either taken the leap immediately to the NHL level or just have flat out not worked. Because for obviously for every Alexi Lafreniere and Keandre Miller and Filip Hedl, you have Elias Anderson and Vitali Kravtsov and players like this. So, and I guess you could say even Kaapo Kakko in terms of where they will, what side of the will they pan out argument you can make at this point in time. But yeah, I just want to take this moment to kind of highlight the play of some of the Rangers' prospects recently. I guess let's start with the most exciting news would probably be Gabe Perreault, who they drafted in the first round this last draft, the 2023 NHL entry draft. So for those of you who don't know, Perreault last year played for the U.S. National Team Development Program, and he broke the record in points by a player in the program. I believe it was like 120-something. It was pretty crazy. I think he broke Austin Matthews' record and Jack Hughes' assist record. So now he's in his freshman year at Boston College, the BC Eagles, and he was playing on a line in the National Team Development Program with Ryan Leonard, who was drafted by the Capitals, I believe it was like 9th overall, and then Will Smith, who was drafted by the San Jose Sharks, I believe that was 4th overall, or 4th or 5th overall. I don't remember off the top of my head. Great podcasting, I know. But that line all got recruited by BC, and now that line is still playing together at Boston College. And Gabe Perreault currently leads the team once again in points. He's only 18 years old, and I believe he's in fourth place, or he's tied for fourth in the entire NCAA for points. And I think he is, other than projected first overall pick, Macklin Celebrini, he is the only freshman in the top four, other than Macklin. So the other two are older players, which is pretty crazy. I mean, obviously, the reason he was even available is that there was always some concern over his skating and his slight frame. He's really shown this year that those things were basically overstated, because his hockey IQ was so high and his compete level is very good. He does not shy away. You know, he's obviously not going to crunch you on the boards or anything, but he engages in battles when he needs to. He goes for contested pucks. He's not a floater by any means, and he likes to play within the game. He's not just a perimeter player out by any means. And he's actually, when you watch him, I think you can kind of understand, because his stride and his frame is a little hunched forward. But I think you can also tell that if he can add size and strength, that he will actually be fine. I mean, I kind of look at a Pavel Buchnevich, who similarly, there was always questions about his skating stride and his skating posture and his frame and his conditioning and all this yada, yada, yada. And it took him a little bit longer, but now he's one of, if not the best player on the St. Louis Blues. And he still kind of skates with that upright, that kind of slightly hunched frame, but he's so smart that he's just effective in all areas of the ice. So honestly, I mean, I don't know if they're direct, I don't know if they're, it's a, they, there's a little bit of a similarity there. Although I would say at the end of that, I would say that for as much of a playmaker as Buchnevich is, I would say, I don't know if he quite has the vision that a Gabe Perreault would have. I mean, if everything pans out for Gabe Perreault, he could be one of the smartest and best players in the NHL. But that being said, that doesn't mean it wouldn't be an uphill battle for him. Because, I mean, if you look at similar player, when I think of similarly players that have just been drafted with high, like with extreme vision and high IQ, take, for example, Cole Perfetti for the Winnipeg Jets. Yeah, it's a little bit slower coming on, although Perfetti is finally starting to find his groove in the National Hockey League and really be effective with his vision playmaking. But yeah, I mean, so far, Perreault has been an effective point producer at every level he's played at. He's the type of player that just makes everyone on his line on the ice better because his vision is not only is his vision so high, but his positioning is so smart and he understands how to not only create time and space for himself, but I guess more importantly, create time and space for his teammates and pull defenders to him, kind of create his own little pockets of, he knows what ice to enter and when in order to pull coverage and pull focus. And then he has the playmaking ability to deliver to the dangerous areas of the ice that he grants his teammates. So that's what stands out the most to me, in one man's opinion, who is not a professional hockey scout, but that's just what I see when I watch him. So, you know, super happy to see Perreault once again, basically proving that, hey, maybe he should have gone higher, got drafted higher than his, line mates at the NTDDP and now for the BC Eagles. But just happy that he's effective, and obviously he has been selected along with Leonard and Smith. That whole line is going to play for Team USA in the World Junior Championships, and one of the most stacked Team USA World Junior Championship teams I've seen in a while, at least in the front end. Their back end's a little just so-so, but literally the gluttony of talent that their four forward lines is going to have is pretty insane. So, really happy for Gabe Perreault to be producing the way he is. Another area that Chris Drury and his staff have really made sure to shore up, as it were, is the Hartford Wolfpack. I mean, you'll remember that Chris Drury was the assistant general manager to Jeff Gorton and the general manager of the Hartford Wolfpack prior to his promotion. So clearly it's been a area of emphasis for him, and the Wolfpack are a much better team than they were two seasons ago. For context, this season, the Hartford Wolfpack are tied for second in the entire American Hockey League standings. And they are second in their division behind the first place Hershey Bears. They have, Hartford has having 31 points in 21 games played, and the Bears having 36 points in 22 games played. But a lot of that success they're having this season is off basically the backs of the younger players that they've injected in their roster. I mean, Brennan Othman, Brett Berard, Adam Sikora, all young players playing their first full season of either first full season or just first season period of American Hockey League hockey. And the team has only improved this season as those players have gotten more comfortable, and they're all producing their own right. Starting with Brennan Othman, he is, after a fairly mild start, he's now on fire. He has 7 goals in his last 6 games. And he's just starting to show his shot more and get a shooting the puck more. More shots on goal. He's calling for more pucks, and it's clear that he probably has the most lethal release on that Wolfpack team. And he's just, you could tell the confidence. His game is fairly meat and potatoes in a way, in that he's just, to be effective, he's not all over the ice, but he's just trying to utilize his shot as a weapon and use it either as a weapon or a distraction. And, he's got impressive poise because he doesn't have the best skating or wheels, but maybe not unlike an Adam Fox. And again, this is in no way am I comparing their hockey IQs, but he is the type of player who will use a little shimmy shake or a fake drop pass to buy himself more time because he does glide around a little bit more and he doesn't have the best skating mechanics. But the fact that you have to respect his shot so much, he uses that to his advantage to make it look like he's going to shoot to freeze defenders in front of him so he can maybe gain a little bit more ice, you know what I mean? So he's been great. Adam Sikora already has 11 points in 21 games. You have to remember, he's the youngest player in the entire AHL. He had a 4-point game a couple of games ago. I forget which one, but it's just he is using his nonstop work ethic and motor and strong acceleration to continue to play that game. He pressures the puck all over the ice. And similarly with Brett Berard, I think Berard has 4 goals in his last 7 games, and he too has just been, he's finding his footing in the American Hockey League. And I think a good thing about this is that with the Rangers, the injuries the Rangers are experiencing, and just seeing someone like Will Cooley make the Rangers right out of camp, I think all of those players I mentioned, and not just them, you know, Bobby Trevino, and or watching, you know, Anton Bleed, or just every player in the Wolfpack, just watching what is, you know, what Will Cooley was able to do, and that there are injuries, they have to be thinking there are spots available for them, or a call-up spot will maybe, if they can keep playing the way they're playing and producing, that they can gain a call-up sometime this season. So that's clearly, that competition from within the team is helping them to win games and is driving them to all be the best players they can be. So Hartford's off to a great start. At least from, you know, points and production aside, you can really tell with the difficulty the Rangers have had developing prospects the last few years, that they've clearly put an emphasis on just better communication about situations and what needs to happen. And it seems like the young players are responding. So that'll be a feather in their cap if they can bring all these young players along, because obviously it's scary to think about it, but you know, this team is not going to have Panarin and Kreider and Zibanejad forever. You know what I mean? At a certain point, those players will either not be with the team, or their effectiveness will diminish as they enter their mid to late 30s. So, but spots will open up, or, you know, lower in the lineup, and pretty soon it'll be the younger players driving the bus. And, you know, it's pretty interesting to think about, but there is that down the line, there might be you might have Alexi Lafreniere and Adam Fox essentially leading a Ranger squad with players like Secor and Berard and Othman and Gabe Perreault. You know what I mean? So, really interesting to think about. You know what I mean? All right. Well, I need to take a lozenge, take a NyQuil, and probably pass out just so I can get past this cold I've been fighting, it's been kicking my ass. But both myself and the New York Rangers plan on using this time to rest up so we can be at our best come the next time we either step onto the ice or behind the mic, because much like in their game against the Ottawa Senators, maybe tonight was not my best performance, but hey, I still showed up, I still put my big boy pants on, and I dug deep, because that's what you gotta do when you have a high standard to uphold, because they never said it would be easy. But then again, anything easy is not worth doing. Thank you for listening to the Broadway Boys Podcast. Be sure to follow us on X at Broadway Boys Pod, and please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple, Spotify, SoundCloud, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at HockeyPodNet. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.